If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
The loss of Qasem Soleimani is a heavy blow to Iran. He was a war hero, the commander of Iran's feared Quds Force, responsible for secretive foreign operations. He wasn't well known in the United States, but he was one of the most powerful figures in the Middle East, sometimes even touted as a possible future leader of Iran. For America, though, General Soleimani was a problem. In April last year, the U.S. designated the Quds Force a foreign terrorist organization.
We are sending a clear signal, a clear message to Iran's leaders, including Qasem Soleimani and his band of thugs, that the United States is bringing all pressure to bear to stop the regime's outlaw behavior.
The Pentagon says Soleimani was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American and coalition service members and also approved the attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad this week.
Paul Violas is a CBS News security consultant, an accomplished author, and a renowned global security and law enforcement expert. With over 35 years of experience, he's dedicated his life to finding solutions for the problems that keep you up at night. This is Security Matters with Paul Violas.
Welcome to Security Matters, where your security matters most. I'm Paul Violas, and this is a CBS News radio production. As always, a big thanks to everybody hitting us up on social media. Definitely a lot on Twitter lately. That amazes me, but it's all good stuff. And appreciate the comments. Facebook, as always, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Really appreciate everybody writing in. A couple of hundred, have been sending stuff in to info@Violas, which is more than fine. If you have questions that you want to send to me and you don't want it over social media, you can write to info@Violas, which is VIOLLIS.com, and you can send your questions there, which is great. Your concerns, things that are going on in the country, all that good stuff. And yes, we did get a lot of questions over social on the road show. Yes, I will be going on a road this month. January 15th, we have the pleasure of delivering our first live, our first cold case in front of a live audience, being hosted by the great city of Houston and by the Houston Fraternal Order Police, obviously in conjunction with our relationship with the National Fraternal Order Police. It's going to be a great case. It'll air the 23rd. And like I said, we'll be taping it live on the 15th, which will be a lot of fun. Also be doing a town hall after that. So if you've got cities around the country that you want us to visit, let us know. We'll pass it on to the FOP. And on January 27th and 28th, I've been given the distinct honor to be the master of ceremonies at the Safe House Project in the Congressional Auditorium on Capitol Hill. And we will be a two-day, it's an evening event on the 27th, and the actual event is on the 28th, again in the Congressional Auditorium, talking about and raising awareness to human trafficking and assisting victims, as Safe House Project does such a great job with. So an answer to your questions, yes, that's all happening. You can always hit us up at CBS Audio to find out more, or hit us up, you know, even at Violas.com. We can more than happy to answer any and all questions. But today we have something that we've spoken about before, and something tells me we'll speak about it again. But we are talking about, as tensions are growing between the United States and Iran over recent issues. Now, I'm joined in just a minute here by someone I consider a dear friend, but someone we are extremely honored and privileged to have as the Security Matters military analyst. And I'm talking about none other than General Dan Goodrich, and he's going to be joining us shortly. Before he comes on, I want to lay out some groundwork here. And the reason why we're doing this is because we need not to feed into misinformation, and we need not to fall into the politicizing of how our country, and more importantly, how our military protects American citizens and protects American soil. It's very, very important. So that is why we're going to talk about this today. So Let's keep this all in perspective. On 27 December, 30 rockets were launched by an Iranian-backed militia at an Iraqi military base, killing an American contractor. Americans respond 29 December, airstrikes on an Iranian-backed militia. 31 December, the U.S. Embassy is attacked in Iraq, which was orchestrated by General Soleimani, the head of the Quds force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. And also, somebody's a quick sidebar, that we, in concert with his force, his Islamic Revolutionary Guard, declared as a terrorist, keyword, and terrorist organization in April of 2019. So hold on to that. Many people have said that what happened next on January 3rd, the United States, via a drone attack, killed Soleimani and four others. An excellent piece of military strategy being implemented, I may say. Now, a lot of people right now are afraid. Now, fear is not how we protect this country. I can tell you that right now. And aspiring to fear and spreading fear is not how we protect this country. So when we start hearing that the president on 3 January, through the approval of the U.S. drone strike killing Soleimani, was an act of war, that is incorrect. What was an act of war was when Soleimani orchestrated the attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. That was an act of war. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about this. Embassies, regardless of whether it's the United States, Russia, China, Iraq, Iran, doesn't matter, doesn't make a difference. Wherever that embassy is, that is sovereign soil. That means it belongs to the host country. By bombing the embassy in Iraq, you might as well have been bombing the Empire State Building. It's U.S. soil. That was an act of war. What the president did was exactly what he should do and any responsible commander-in-chief would do as the president of the United States in responding to that. There's no question about that. Let's make sure we're clear on that. Now, also, why him? Well, in addition to the embassy, Soleimani was responsible for the insurgency in Iraq and Syria. He's responsible for providing IEDs, improvised explosive devices, that killed and maimed hundreds of American military. Don't forget that. He's also responsible for murdering women and children in public, openly. He was an in-state actor. In-state actor means he was employed by the government of Iran, and he was a leading terrorist organizer in the world. As I mentioned before, the head of the Quds force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, which, as I said before, also was declared a terrorist organization in April 2019. This, in concert with the fact that we knew, based on intelligence, we knew that he was planning other attacks, plural, against United States citizens and United States interests, in concert with the fact that he also was responsible for the attack on the U.S. embassy. This is what promulgated our attack. This is why, as we go forward, which we're privileged to have General Goodrich here today to talk further about this, this is why we must now roll up our sleeves and get even more stern and stronger. And this is why we need to set the bar very clearly about who's responsible for the terror in this world and who's going to make sure that we safeguard American citizens from that. So as I mentioned, we're privileged to have our military analyst, a 30-year veteran of the United States, retired General Dan Goodrich. General, thanks so much for joining today.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paul, for having me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
General, in respect for your time, I'm going to jump right into my questions here. The military planning process, a lot of people don't really understand what goes into that. And obviously, we have different factions of the media that want to jump out and make statements that aren't true. So no one knows better than you the military planning process and what would have gone into making the decision to hit Soleimani. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, Paul. It's a very intricate process. There's no doubt that it's got a lot of people involved. At some point, it's very close hold. But normally, when something comes up and the leadership wants an answer or wants some ideas on what to do once they have some actionable intelligence, what are the courses of actions that can be taken? The military then gets right into this military planning process by which they take a hard look at what the mission is, the things that are leading up to the mission, what the causes were, what the input was, and then finally part of the process by which they determine what their recommendation is going to be is what are some of the outcomes of this action? What might happen after the fact, after this action is taken? So the bottom line is it's very, very detailed, and it normally takes a bit of time. At some point, you don't have as much time, depending upon what action, what intelligence you have. But in all cases, the military planning process develops a plan and then presents that plan to the leadership, in this case, the president, for his decision. A lot of people might be confused that the military makes the decision to go in and do things. That's not true. People need to rest easy that they have very, very talented leaders and members of the United States military, but they're not acting on their own. They may have ideas. They may present courses of actions, but they do not make the decisions that affect the, everybody in the United States. That's the senior leadership up to the president.
All right. So to piggyback off of that, General, you mentioned intelligence gathering. So we can frame this so everyone can clearly understand where we're coming from here. The military planning process, as you said, is a quite detailed process. So it's not, this isn't fly by the seat of your pants. A lot of intelligence is gathered in that, as you said. So to piggyback on that, you mentioned intelligence and actionable intelligence. Now we know, and I've learned from you over the years, that intelligence is clearly at the cornerstone of all military action. And you filter that as to what works and what doesn't work, what's actual, what's not actual, and you validate it. And once you validated it, you vetted it, you call it actionable intelligence. What exactly is actionable intelligence so people understand that?
Well, simply put, let's start with intelligence writ all. There's a lot of information out there. A lot of information is gathered. But actionable intelligence is information that can lead to an action that you can actually follow up on, and it should be information that should be put to further use. In other words, it's very solid, and it's very important to understand what that intelligence is as you move forward in some of these on some of the attacks or any type of action following, but pre a attack like this. So it's very important, but not all intelligence leads to action.
Understood. So basically, when we say that intelligence is gathered, so everybody understands what's going on, intelligence is gathered during the military planning process of whether or not there's going to be action or no action. And that intelligence then is vetted very carefully and it's filtered. And then once you have verified as a military leader, and for everyone to know, as part of General Goodrich's resume, he finished up his career as an intelligence leader at the Pentagon. So we can't have a better subject matter expert for this. So now, General, just to finish that thought, we have the intelligence. You and other leaders look at that intelligence. You decide, after vetting the intelligence, what's actionable and what's not. Then you get to that point where you frame what you're going to recommend to the president regarding what military action to take and what military action not to take, based solely on what the probability of success is, limiting the amount of casualties that aren't necessary, and also looking 2, 3, 4 steps ahead as to, once we do this, what do we need to be prepared for? Is that accurate?
That's very accurate. The most important or sometimes overlooked portion of that is the follow-on, the 2, 3, 4 steps following your action and what you might expect, that's critical to the recommendation that you may have for the senior leadership.
And which I'm going to come back to that, but I also want to state for all of our listeners, now, there's been a lot of rhetoric that's been going on discussing the public's right to know what the president knew regarding the intelligence and how he made that decision, and what Congress's right was to know that intelligence. So let's be all clear with this. Congress, message to Congress. Congress, the U.S. citizen, you do not have a right to know that. No one has a need to know that, even if you're in the military, unless you are a part of that operation. So rest assured, all the things that you keep hearing on television and on the radio about, well, they didn't tell us. Well, you're not entitled to know. So don't ask. What makes everyone feel so entitled that all of a sudden the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, our military leaders from the Pentagon across the board need to tell the public what their plans are? Stop asking, because it's never going to happen. Now, the other part is, I've been hearing a lot of this talk about, well, Congress should have been told and needed to approve that. Wrong again. And remember, this is not a political statement. This is a fact. This is just a fact. Congress did not need to know that. Congress did not need to approve that. The president did not declare war. And if anybody declared war, it was Soleimani who orchestrated the attack on our embassy, which is sovereign soil. We merely responded to that. So we need to put those things to rest. Do not expect to get those, because we simply can't tell you. And if someone is in the military and they're not working that operation, they don't have a right to know either. So don't feel left out. Now, General, a lot of political rhetoric has been circulating stating that we should not have taken this shot for fear it would have angered the Iranian government and caused them to act against us. General, is this the mindset of our military leaders?
Paul, the mindset of the military leaders is not to, quote, fear retaliation, but to weigh all factors in the planning process. It is not the decision made by the military leaders, but it's important that the military leadership lays out all the possibilities of what might happen after an attack like this takes place. But to say that we should be worried about retaliation against us, you know, really the bottom line is the Iranians should be worried about further retaliation against them for what they did to our people and our embassy.
Couldn't agree with you more, sir. Couldn't agree with you more. And just to reiterate so everybody understands, part of the military planning process that went into this operation when we launched that drone strike was exactly what the general said, looking four steps ahead. We've already thought about what their response was going to be. Our intelligence on the ground gave us that information so we can look three, four steps ahead. So please, ladies and gentlemen, stop being in fear of what Iran may do. And I could not agree with you more, General. Iran's the one that needs to be worried at this point, as they should be, as they should be. Reference the question of active war. And General, I throw this out to you, obviously, with the utmost of respect. Now, you know, obviously, we've talked about how I feel. I know how we both feel, especially, but I'm just talking about myself, about how poorly the United States handled and our administration at the time handled the attack on Benghazi. That was an act of war. We failed our citizens. We failed our military and government personnel miserably. The way that we followed up with Rice coming on and lying on television, with Clinton talking out of both sides of her face. And again, I want everyone to understand, this is not a political statement. This is a fact. It's an undebatable fact. We were weakened as a country the way that we handled that. I will tell you that. There's no question about it. Now, reference the question of active war, General. Is it safe to say the action taken against the U.S. Embassy was more of an act of war than us striking Soleimani?
Paul, I truly believe that. There's no doubt. You know, you said earlier in the show about it's a sovereign land of the country, a country that it's the embassy of. It's true. You have to be able to feel safe in your own embassy. And obviously that's happened before to us in 1979 in Iran. So, you know, the idea that you can attack our embassy because you don't agree with our philosophies or even our actions is just wrong. That's as much an act of war as if they came over here, as you said, and attacked on our home ground.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, sir, because we really needed to clarify that. There's a lot of people that are, you know, just concerned, and having you on is going to make a lot of people breathe a lot easier. General, my last question. As a retired general who worked in the Pentagon holding a high-level intelligence position and has many years of hands-on experience serving our country in the Middle East region, are you confident, sir, that we are managing this situation in the best interests of the American people?
Absolutely, Paul. And I'll tell you that this is a complex and dicey situation. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, the Pentagon, members in the military leadership, are acting in the best interest of the American people. You can be proud of them, and you'll know that whatever they say, whatever they propose, will be in the best interest of their fellow citizens. There's just no doubt about that.
Well, General, I can't thank you enough for that and for taking the time to speak with us today. And as we close this particular episode, I want to leave everyone with this thought. I understand that sometimes we're left feeling really uneasy when we watch what's on television, we listen to what's on the radio, we see what's on the internet. I get that. I completely get that. You need to understand that there's a gross disparity between true journalism and sensationalism. And unfortunately, there's far more sensationalism than journalism. I will tell you unequivocally that what we've talked about today are pure, unadulterated facts. What you need to walk away from this with is this. Sure, does it create anxiety amongst people when we think that we're going to be in conflict with another country? Yes. There's no question about that. It would be odd if you didn't feel a little anxious over that. That's to be expected. But what I ask you, I beseech you, please, to listen to what General Goodrich said, because at the end of the day, a lot of planning went into this. That planning consisted of 3-4 steps ahead, knowing what we were going to have to do and what we were going to have to contend with and the probability of how they were going to respond. That's already been incorporated. We need to understand it is not just our right, but our responsibility to respond to acts of war, such as the attack on the embassy. And you need to also walk away from this knowing that anything that they're thinking about, meaning Iran right now, anything that they're thinking about, we've prepared for. And they do not have any type of armament that we don't have better and more of. So with all that said, please, trust in what our military leaders are doing, in the information our intelligence community is collecting, and how we're making decisions to make sure that we safeguard American interests and American people in the Middle East, outside the United States, and clearly at home. General, I can't thank you enough for joining us today, and look forward to having you back on in the near future.
Thanks, Paul. It's a very, very important issue.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to finish up for the day. Stay with me.
We're going to stick with that breaking story overnight. President Trump promising to make a statement this morning after Iran fired more than a dozen missiles at 2 military bases housing Americans in Iraq.
The targets included a facility in Erbil and the Al Asad Air Base, which hosts about 1,500 U.S. and coalition forces. Holly Williams is in Baghdad, and as people wake up here, Holly, we're all wondering about the extent of the damage. So what can you tell us?
Well, we're still waiting on official word from the U.S. government on what damage was done. The Iraqi military says that they suffered no casualties, and that's important because they work very closely with American troops here in Iraq. There are around 5,000 U.S. troops serving here in Iraq. They're here for the fight against ISIS, but they were already on a state of high alert, and they had paused their operations against ISIS over the last few days. And that's because they were fearful of revenge attacks.
Now, back to Security Matters with Paul Violas.
Welcome back to Security Matters. I'm Paul Violas. And as you heard on my conversation with General Goodrich, I want very much, I very much want to leave you with this one thought. I am a proud member of the media right now, and I am very, very fortunate to have the position I have and to have the opportunity to do what I do. But we really need to understand that there is a difference between sensationalism and there is a difference between sensationalism and journalism. And what you're hearing right now is journalism. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I really loved and appreciate aligning with CBS News Radio, because that's the history, it's the backbone, it's the benchmark of what that's all about. We need to know the truth and the facts. And what I heard, what I gave you today was the truth about what we did, why we did it, and how we're prepared. And the facts, that's it. So please, even though, and I can assure you, the weeks ahead are gonna be a little bit nerve-wracking. I get it. You're gonna hear a lot of things coming from Iran. They're gonna run their mouth. They have to, right? They got punched in the face, and now they gotta stand up and sound like, you know what? I don't know. Well, you can't pick on me. I'm gonna do this to you. Well, just please keep this in perspective. We're the strongest country in the world with the most powerful military in the world. We have the most sophisticated intelligence community in the world with assets everywhere. Rest assured, we're going to be just fine. That's all I can tell you. But rest assured, we're going to be just fine. And trust in our military leaders. We did not become the greatest country in the world without them. We're doing the right thing. On behalf of everybody here at Security Matters, I appreciate you joining us today. And continue to hit us up on social media. We love your comments. You can always shoot me an email direct at info@violas.com. Have a great week. Be safe. Be well. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Security Matters with Paul Violas. The podcast is produced by Seth Nyman and CBS News Radio. For more podcasts from CBS News, visit cbsaudio.com/podcasts.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.